a two-way conversation. So my name is Eric Charron. This is a session about strategies for adopting social computing technologies, and it's a business-focused track. I'd like to give my co-presenters a chance to introduce themselves.
So I'm Bart Bischoff. I'm in the Worldwide Services Organization, and plan to show you a real quick demo on how we're leveraging social capabilities.
My name is Jan Schoy. I'm a part of the Search Center Excellence team working out of Oslo. So I'm going to give you a few demos and some info as well.
Great. So today, our whole goal with this session is to really talk to you about the pressures that you might be facing as part of your organization in adopting social computing. So social computing is certainly not a new trend, but it's one in which a lot of organizations are coming to grip with, and they're facing a lot of pressures. They're facing pressures from users and people that want to have social computing capabilities and technologies. They're facing pressures from businesses to prove value of social computing. So now that a lot of these organizations have people that can go home and engage in social computing paradigms like Facebook and LinkedIn and those types of things, a lot of companies are being faced with the constituents and from the executive layer to people that actually need to complete tasks on how to implement these things within the organizations. So today we're going to talk about the value of social computing, not as a technology, but from a business standpoint, how do you rationalize implementing social computing technologies? And everybody knows that SharePoint is a principal method of implementing SharePoint computing technologies as well as Yammer. So our goal today is to really use those technologies and give you some visual demonstrations. There's no code demonstrations today. These are going to be visual implementations about how real-life use cases can be augmented using social computing. And then we're going to couch that in a maturity model. So gone are the days in which many organizations can buy a social computing platform and implement it without any organizational strategy to measure adoption and measure value. You know, adopting social computing today, you have to be able to recognize where you are along a curve. And we're going to talk to you about what that maturity model looks like. And it was fueled by some really good research and a really good article from Gartner, which we have in the resource slide. And then our goal today, again, is to do those visual demonstrations of adoption for social computing at different stages in that maturity model. So the hope and goal is that you kind of identify where you are in the maturity model. You can kind of say, yeah, that's exactly where I am right now. Those are the pain points that I'm facing. And then really get a good understanding of what it means to move along that maturity model and fully embrace social computing technologies. And so we're going to do that in the context of, you know, thinking about this from an executive level or a business-driven presentation, right? So the first thing you need to do in order to implement a technology platform is not buy the platform and hope people are going to come to it and start to use it and have it be just an intuitive experience. But the goal is for you to understand the needs and the trends associated with social computing. And again, those are all those pressures that are coming at business and technology decision makers about social computing and use cases for providing value for that. And then the next section of the discussion is where we're going to shift to what the desired outcomes are. And again, agnostic to technology implementation, how will you know that your business or your organization has successfully adopted social computing? And it's actually benefiting the organization as well as the individual. And at each stage, as we move through the maturity model for SharePoint, we're going to talk to you about what the challenges of that stage of adoption are. So some of you may, given the different stages you are in your organization, may think, yeah, this is exactly what I'm facing today. And our goal is to provide you with some core recommendations to mitigate some of those challenges. And then also to expose you to challenges that you might not have seen or thought about that might be coming up. And again, that's all done within the context of that maturity model. And our goal today is to show you how to move along that maturity model so that you can start thinking proactively about social computing and how people plan to use it versus reactively and trying to catch up. So let's dive into needs and trends, right? So, you know, it's important to think of these things in terms of how, you know, value realization. And again, value is very difficult to articulate, and it's very difficult to measure. So a lot of times when I go to talk to enterprise customers about adoption of social computing, I tend to think of these things in terms of what social computing is not, what would not be valuable for the business, right? So a lot of organizations begin this discussion by saying, well, I just want Facebook for the business, right? I really want Facebook for the enterprise. How many people in here have heard have heard that, right? Your organizations are saying, you know what, people are using this thing at home. It seems pretty cool. Would it be great if I could at mention somebody, your microblog or tweet, and they buy this, you know, they implement SharePoint, they implement Yammer, and you know, it's very much a they will build it, or if I build it, they will come, without any value proposition or articulation. So our guidance is to think of these things in terms of, you know, unless I can articulate what the proven business value and the tangible benefits that I get are, it's not something that I can just wantonly adopt and throw dollars at. I actually need to think about people, process, technology, governance of a solution, and how it furthers the organization. So one of the things at which we primarily focus on in articulation of value for organizations is to address the changing workforce. People are used to getting things done home in a much more efficient and smooth and integrated manner, and then when they come to work, it's a jarring experience. At work, you have to do things through email. You have these antiquated tools written in VB6 or VB.net, or there are these disjointed systems, and task completion becomes a challenge. And so we have this cognitive dissonance between the way you work at home and the way you work in the enterprise, right? So consumer-driven habits developed at home are starting to impact and drive how organizations need to get things done. And this also carries over into talent and attraction, right? People coming out of colleges, the digital millennials, need to, this is the way they get things done. They get things done in a social manner. Email and even texting takes too long, right? So this is a completely different culture. And so the core underpinning value, the easiest value to articulate is that I need to see changes or increases that are measurable in productivity. Right? Productivity is probably one of the most elusive things to measure. I don't think that there is a unified means of trying to articulate benefits and increases in productivity within many organizations. I think that you have to do a holistic and value proposition analysis of what productivity means in your organization. That might mean less clicks in a call center and finding and exposing issues. That might be looking at hot issues or things that need to be resolved within an enterprise in a social fashion, right? And then, you know, everybody has heard that it's not what you know, it's who you know. Many organizations now are realizing it's kind of both, right? It's the ability to unlock silos of knowledge that are around departments, people, teams, and be able to branch out in a real-time manner, in a quick and easy manner. So instead of walking across campus or walking down the hallway, it's an instant message, it's a post to a newsfeed, it's a tag, or it's an at mention in a social platform. Quality of work and motivation and job satisfaction are also organizational goals. So again, that cognitive dissonance is like, why is it so easy for me to search and find things at home when it's so difficult for me to search within the enterprise or figure out how to get a task done? And then so we want to focus also on the individual needs. So that's the we talked about the organizational level and how to make things better with social computing there. But in the way to realize those is by meeting individual needs and going down to figuring out what are people, you know, really going to get from a social computing platform and a collaboration platform. And number one is it's the ability to get things done. If I can get things done faster, I can be more productive. I can spend more time doing less task-oriented, rote work, and I can be more creative about how I get work done and provide more value to the organization. And so getting things done, we kind of drill into that, which is finding relevant information to the task at hand. And we'll show some examples of this, if I have to spend 4 hours trying to figure out how to update my withholding status on my tax form, I'm doing less work, less creative thinking, and less what the organization hired me to do. The other thing is that you need to understand context of needs, and we'll talk a little bit, actually the next slide, we'll talk about information versus knowledge and the difference in between those two and why that's important. And the other thing is to be able to provide a system that allows you to query and figure things out and find out questions and get actionable answers from people that are authoritative and understand. So it's a modicum of community around that's backing up the ability to get things done. And then it's also, you know, being able to focus on the areas and put effort in the areas that really matter. Minor task completion, administrative tasks, draw our time away from things that we should be spending our time on, which is, you know, being able to produce a quality solution or being able to think creatively about real business challenges and problems. The other thing that's relatively overlooked in terms of individual needs is recognition. People love to be recognized. And in many studies, there are instances where the need for recognition or the desire for recognition outweighs even monetary compensation as a reward for a job well done. And so if we have tools and capabilities to be able to recognize people for achievements and contributions and desired behavior, that's something that that is going to make people more satisfied with their job and motivated to do their job better. And the goal for doing this is not to put another stumbling block, not to put another system in the way of what everybody kind of understands what their system of getting things done in the organization are, right? So we know that people are resistant to change, and we understand that if you implement a new system and tell people to go use it, that it has to be easy and they have to understand the value, and it can't be jarring. It can't be another place to go do things. It has to be something that's easily adopted. And you know, we all understand that the adoption of new tools and solutions are a barrier, but we'll talk about that in terms of the social computing platform as we move through the presentation. So let's talk about, let's pivot here and understand what information versus knowledge. Information today is really available in the systems that we use. It's available on the web. It's available within your corporate intranet. It's available within your email and inbox, and it's available within IMs. But those things are locked up in silos, and you have to know to go where to look. How many people have an intranet today in which if you don't know where something is, you can't actually get to it? So most of us, right? And probably the folks that raise their hands have a litany of links that are deep links that go directly into the system, the application, the environment, the screen that you need to go, right? So that's an example of information. It's there, but it's not discoverable. It's not exposed, and there's no context around that information. So that represents one-way communication. You share it once, and it's not really reused, and there's no context around it. So the way that we define knowledge is that it consists of insights and interpretations of that data, of that information, right? So this is an example of where once I'm able to find, you know, a policy, a procedure, a governance implementation pattern, I need to be able to attain some context around that, right? So when is this governance policy used? How is it enforced? Is it current? Does it apply to my situation? These are all questions that people that are knowledge seekers, that are knowledge workers need to find out. And a social computing and collaboration platform provides a cradle for this to actually happen, right? So I wanted to really throw out the difference between information versus knowledge and kind of some of the challenges that we see organizations go through all the time. This is another one of those background slides that kind of really describe the pressures that people are facing or organizations are facing today from their members, right? So the 65% of all companies surveyed are deploying a social computing tool today. Right? And the premise of our presentation today is that deploying the tool is maybe like one-third of what you need to do. And in fact, it could be harmful if you just deploy the tool and don't use it or don't leverage it. Skipping ahead into the middle of the slide, 82% of the world's online population are engaged in some form of social networking. So it's important to understand that the people that are logging into your systems every day, logging into their desktops or working from home, those folks have already probably engaged by the time they get to work across multiple devices, engaged in maybe five types of social interaction in a social computing environment, right? And that's before they sit down or they log in the morning on multiple devices. And what that really boils down to is that we're experiencing the rise of the social customer. We are experiencing an increase in the need for immediacy and responses to our queries. People that are seeking knowledge and context around information, they want it quickly and they want it in context, they want it to be rich. And they want it fast, right? And the other statistic here and why that's important is that, you know, if without proper governance, if you just implement a system without understanding the value and the governance and procedures to control it, it can kind of get out of hand, right? So back in the early days in SharePoint 2007, before we had a end user license agreement for or codes of conduct for social media within and externally to the enterprise, we had a lot of people just taking to complain about their bosses, to complain about, you know, company policy, and you know, nobody really seemed to understand that this was an open system and that you might be experiencing some career limiting moves if you engage in that type of behavior. So that statistic is there to make sure that you understand that you need to govern and you need to be able to create acceptable use policies. So. And I'm going to turn it over to you so you can talk about some of the desired business-driven outcomes for social computing.
Yeah, so, I mean, a lot of things that Eric already alluded to is around the organizational individual needs, but it's also important to actually manage to measure it. He raised the hand and asked how many has actually heard I want Facebook inside the company. But if I ask the other question, how many are willing to invest in software that doesn't give you any return on the investment? Anybody? Good. So, I mean, doing some of these things, we also have to prove that there is some sort of financial feedback, financial gain from doing this. And if you're looking at some of the outcomes, and we're going to go through that through the maturity model as well, and trying to carve out and pin out some of the things that actually will be value for the user or for organization. I think, obviously, one of the things we want to say here is about the fact that by doing this, we are empowering the employees through the tools. So by the tools itself, we're actually empowering you to do something. But also realizing measurable increases. We've done a lot of business cases, a lot of works with a lot of companies around the world where we're using the IDC reports, and you see that knowledge work is spent between, depending on the more knowledgeable you become, $5,000, $6,000, $7,000 a year per information worker just by reworking the same or inventing the same wheel over and over again. And I'm pretty sure if you're looking at most of the installation today or file shares previously, that the same document will exist at least 10 to 15 times. You'll see that people are doing smaller or minor changes to the same document. Your prices on your infrastructure will increase dramatically. And of course, just thinking about the time it takes to create these things will have a huge financial impact. Also creating a flexible social fabric in the sense that allowing people to talk across and collaborate across different divisions. Had a presentation last year, we're looking at different verticals. And if you're looking inside a company and the average of how many verticals and search vertical that was in particular, you'll see that for a knowledge worker, they need to go at least 10, 12, 15 different places to find the total relevant information. And now, by actually introducing some of these tools, you're enabling people to talk across and to get a much better value in total. And of course, employee engagement, that leads into what Eric also mentioned, in the sense that recognition, being seen, and being actually able to get some credit is extremely important. But of course, he also talked a little bit about the challenges here, and just investing in a social platform is not enough. You're not going to get suddenly everybody jumping on the train. And if you're looking at most companies, it's not 20 years old people that are digging their head into a slate or an iPad or a Surface and playing around with that all the time. And also just doing that, you're probably not going to get any value. So you need to realize the fact that there is, you're probably going to have all the generations inside your company. You're going to have the computer savvy, the young people who are used to using these social computing tools, and you have people that still actually wants to use fax when they are talking to each other.
True story.
One of the challenges, of course, user experience. People are used to how they want to do it. We very often meet that when we're working with customer and around search. Yeah, we want to change because we know you have this really great new tool, which was fast search, still is fast search. But we want you to introduce the tool into our organization, make all the power we can have, but don't change anything on the user experience because everybody knows exactly where they're going. So it's a barrier and it's a challenge because people want things to look exactly the way they do today. But at the same time, in order to change the behavior, you actually need to do something. But you need also then to think very carefully about how you do these changes. Maturity levels and mismatching expectations. I talked briefly about the fact that you actually have people from probably all the different levels inside your organization in a sense of their ability to actually achieve this. And one of the big challenges we see is that you often go in and you look at this maturity model and number 5 or the highest level always looks very promising. So we want to be there. And there's a huge mismatch in the set of expectations that are being set for the management versus what is actually possible inside the organization. So I think you have to get smooth into this process. You have to realize that there might be different departments that have different maturity levels, and you even need to think about approaching those levels differently. And then you have the other pillar here. Information is power. A lot of people like to keep the information for themselves. So in a way, if I know something that you don't know, I can actually use that. And that's a good thing. Well, for maybe in the short term, but it's not in the long term. So being able to mitigate some of that resistance that you have in the organization in the sense of how to motivate change, how to motivate people to actually see the value of what you're doing is a really critical thing. And of course, you need to also look at the differences. I mean, when you're looking at social computing, it's not, you can't just say it's not collaboration, because it definitely is collaboration as well. Sharing, working together, all of these things, there is an overlap. But what we're really also trying to talk about when we talk about social computing is a way of working together, reaching out. If we three are working on a project together and preparing this presentation, that's not really social computing. We are working in a project. It's the way that we do it, and maybe we're starting to work with other people inside the organization. Maybe we're sharing something out, hashtagging it, asking people for advice, and then suddenly somebody from another part of the world chips in and brings some input. That's when you start talking about social, and Bart is going to do an excellent demo later here on what we've done inside the company. So just handing it back to Eric to present the maturity model.
Thanks, Jan. So Jan took us through what the desired outcomes are. It's the creation of a social fabric. It's the implementation of social computing. It's the realization of business value from social computing. And it's the ability to help people get things done and task completion, right? So how do we make sure that you can implement social computing within your organization? You probably heard from us that, you know, you just can't buy a platform and hope that they'll come. So what we're going to do is this is actually sourced from a great Gartner article about social computing. They designed these different levels and characteristics. So I'm just going to take a real quick walk through this. It's a bit of an eye chart for most folks that are farther back. But the idea here in this maturity model is that each organization has different levels of adoption, and each of these levels have different behavioral characteristics with regard to social computing and collaboration. So the first level is what's called reactive. In this level, the organizations are specifically, they achieve collaboration through email only. It's a very focused email-centric culture. We're going to see a demonstration about where I think most of us in this room has probably lived through trying to collaborate on a single document. There is no social computing platform. The organization doesn't see any value in it. There's no policies defined for governance around social computing, and everything is really an ad hoc and reactive process. Everybody does things differently. In the level two, which is a basic adoption of social computing, email is still very front and foremost, and people are having challenges moving away from email to adopt a social computing platform. The platform is there, but it's not been articulated to users that they should use it for n number of tasks or use the platform in this way, right? So this is an example where somebody went out and bought the platform and implemented it and hoped that people were going to use it. But in level two, they do start to see, as the people that are adopting it early start taking up the platform and using it, that they need to gain control of it, that things are happening out there that may not be good, that they need to think, they need to inspect, see about, and govern. In level three, it's emerging. The platform is there. People are adopting the platform in full swing. People now have answers as to where to put stuff, right? So it's no longer a one-off, I'm going to put a document on my S drive, or I'm going to throw it in email. They know that they should go to SharePoint. They know that they should go to Yammer. But there are still holdouts in the organization, and this is very much a cultural shift. And then now that the social platform has been adopted, now we're going to start to think about SLAs, right? How do I make sure that the social platform, now that it's being inculcated into the culture, is going to be highly available? In level four, we start to see a larger widespread adoption. So there are more people using the platform for the intended purpose than there are not. And those folks, the culture, you know, kind of rewards those people that have adopted it and are kind of, you know, shunning those non-participants. So the people that are slow to adopt microblogging or whatever the particular element of social computing platform technologies are, they are known. People know that they are not contributors or they're not joiners, right? And that's an important, you know, cultural aspect to understand. And then what we're going to start to see is an explosion of solution architects and people that are building line of business applications that realize that they can take advantage of social computing and infuse social computing technologies into their line of business apps that exist today. And level 5 is really kind of like the panacea of social computing. And like Jan said, that's not necessarily a destination or a target, right? It's not that you throw this in front of every executive and say, all right, how quickly can we get to level 5? Level 5 may never be an attainable or desirable state for many organizations. But at level 5, it's one in which you have universal adoption of social computing. We have social computing platform is really a fabric at this point in time, and that really that's a service-oriented approach to exposing social computing functionality to applications, to business processes, and to that cross boundaries. So from HR to payroll to marketing, right? There's the social computing platform allows the execution of business processes across those. So from a solution perspective, how do I go do this, right? So it's the first thing to do is to understand your position in that maturity model. Some of you may have said, yes, that's my organization as you read through this. Some of you may need to take time to think about it. But the idea is to understand where you are and then what's the desirable end state, right? What's the gap? What's my roadmap and where do I want to be and how do I get there? And then it's to understand the technical solutions that are capable. What's met with technology, and once I adopt this technology and all these features, how do I govern it, and how do I make sure that I can use this platform to achieve cultural shift? And then it's to begin to adopt the solution and begin to work within your organization. And again, that's apart from technical adoption. This is the implementation of communication plans. It's telling people how to get work done. It's telling people how to actually leverage the platform. So, what scenario should I start with when I move into the maturity model? Let's say that I've identified myself and I'm a level 1 person, right? How do I move from, the way things are to what I want it to be? So if we think about things in terms of level 1, right, which is no social computing platform, what are my challenges in that particular environment? We're going to kind of do a demonstration to kind of illustrate this. But the challenges are that there is no social computing capability or effort, or no one's even thinking about it. I go home and I have, all of this modern, capability to figure out what friends are doing on Facebook, to share photos, to tag things, to like things. And when I come into the organization, it's, I'm faced with Visual Basic 6 screens and, 5 or 6 different applications to get things done. I have to run around to people's desks, and I can't really share things in an easy fashion. So there's no organizational governance policy in place. Departments may have that have this dissonance about what's possible at home and what's possible at work, have budget and autonomy to go and hire and get their own platforms to implement. So you may see the rise of siloed social computing platforms and adoptions within businesses, different business groups within the organization, which is harmful. But in the end, biggest level one challenge is that it's up to the individual and the team on how to do things and how to share things. So it's a very challenging prospect in which you have these different silos and different people adopting different means of sharing. And the biggest thing that I see with a lot of customers is IT, if IT doesn't move fast enough to provide a platform to give you those experiences that you have at home from a consumerization standpoint, many people in here, and I myself included, have probably turned to commercially available consumer services outside the enterprise to get things done. If I need to transfer a multi-gigabyte file, why not just go to SkyDrive when I have to beg, borrow, plead, and steal to share a document internally with, 45 different people? And that's a really big challenge from a legal and compliance perspective, because now you have your IP out in the wild on consumer-based systems, which have a much larger attack surface than an actual enterprise-class solution. So from a recommendations perspective, if you've already articulated the value, you understand what the organizational needs are and the individual needs are and why you should adopt social computing, begin focusing on adopting a platform to do this, right? So it's really start to do the envisioning, what the solution will do, what it won't do. And again, it doesn't end with the deployment of the platform, but it should mature over time from a technology, which a place to do things, to a fabric that can be used across the enterprise. Focus on basic use cases. So those can be driven by features, microblogging, news feeds, hashtagging, things of that nature. But focus also on communication and culture. the cultural shift is, and the importance of being able to understand that, you know, digital millennial way of doing things, and you know, the people that I call that are pro in place, that have been within the business or the organization for a long time, those are the different spectrums that you're going to have to address and be able to move them along into the platform in order for you to realize the value. And the number one thing to do in when you're adopting is to establish governance. Realize that if you don't get a hold of what's happening out there and put in place do's and don'ts, that it can get away from you and damage can be done. So let me turn it over to Jan, who's actually going to show, you know, a demo about the old way, which is the level one way of the way that we do kind of do things.
Perfect. Thank you. So, yeah, so this case is what we like to call the old way. What we have done here, and actually when we come to this specific demo, there is a recording. All of the things that we are going to show here as well, we've done recording of, and we also added in the presentation. So when you're taking it later, you're actually going to get access to all of those. In this case, we're actually just writing a document together. And the way that we're doing it is that we are, one of us, the author, me, has written the first draft. And you want to send it out to the team members on email. And it's not pen and paper, so we're not all that way back. But we are asking them to give feedback. And then how do you actually bring that content into one document again? So first, when you're doing the collaboration, you'll recognize that we're using emails. I'm sending it out, and I'm receiving a bunch of emails back again. Eric is answering. A couple of other colleagues is answering as well. As you can see from these emails, I have a set of documents that I need to then save to my desktop, and I actually need to prepare them there for continuing working on them. Now, going from that level, we're going over to starting to consolidating these documents. And the way that you can do that, Susie, sorry. Here it comes. It's the only video we're going to use today. We're a little bit scared of the. Now it doesn't want.
Well, I think the power of what we're showing here is that I think we've all been in circumstances where there is no place to collaborate, right? So you're sending emails around, you're sending multiple documents between three different people, and I think we'll show here in a second, you know, the experience about trying to merge changes, form a document from three different people into a single document, right? So we call it collaboration through email. And it's a very jarring and oftentimes frustrating experience. And the biggest challenge with that is that you tend to lose work. You lose people's changes, you overwrite things, your emails cross in the night, and you know, you get late-breaking changes, and it's just not a real good way of collaborating. So the new way, which I think we're going to show, are we showing the consolidation?
Yeah, sorry about that. But as you said, you're recognizing this way of consolidating. Basically, what we're doing here is that we're bringing a set of documents together. Obviously, you need to do two and two documents together. You need to work through them, even though you have a tracking in place here, and maybe your colleagues aren't using that tracking, you're still going to see that you need to work through. And having more than two contributors is going to be a huge problem here. We also actually did a small example on moving it a little bit step forward and using the My Sites. Now, we're going a little bit step forward than probably what you would see in the first one here, but we created a site where we're working together. On that side, which we here just call Collaborate, we had a document workspace, and we allowed the people to work in. But still, from a social computing point of view, we're very low on the levels.
Well, and the thing I think we wanted to articulate is that the document view where you saw Jan trying to merge the different changes, that is absolute pain, right? That's an art form that we hope that many of us never see again. And you know, the important thing here that we're showing is that a collaboration platform allows for the ability for us to have a place where we go and we you know, as you can see here through the demo, being able to centrally collaborate and centrally communicate with presence, with IM, with full integration of the collaboration platform.
Yes. So moving back, so little bit hiccup there, but what you're basically seeing here is you have a lot of people collaborating, as Eric said. It's a pain trying to bring these things together. We are really using the most fundamental tools. There are no special tools that we're bringing in here. And it's a simple platform that's provided. And also going back to what he said is that you really need to look at people figuring out what is the best way to do it themselves. You're not providing any guidance, communication at all on how to do this.
Yeah, I think the biggest observation there is that in the scenario in which we moved to the desired state, which is where we found a place called SharePoint to stick this documentation, it's a very self-discovery driven approach for adoption. There was nobody telling them this is the right way to do it whenever you need to share a document or go someplace to use SharePoint. Right? So,
you want to bring us to level
yep,
two?
Yep, absolutely. So, you know, understanding that level one is a very reactive mode for collaboration and social computing. What's the best way to get to level two, right? To get to that adoption of a platform. So the biggest thing is to focus on communications planning. If you provide the platform, people will use it, and you might get sparse adoption. But the important thing is to focus on communicating the correct way to use the platform, and really talk to users about the instances in which it's going to be valuable for them. And that'll provide motivation, which then provides adoption. And the way we do that when Microsoft talks to companies about social computing adoption is what we drive towards the creation of personas. And personas really help articulate value, because personas can take on the characteristics of a group of people. They can also take on characteristics of the cultural challenges. And it really provides a vehicle for you to represent the old and the new way. And with any organization, you're going to find groups of what we call key influencers. Those are people that are excited about the platform, not necessarily technology-oriented. I mean, they could exist in any aspect of the business or the organization, but those are people that are progressive thinking. Those are the individuals that want and can see the promise of the vision of social computing in the enterprise being adopted. So the idea is to highlight and go after those people, invite them into beta tests, and implement the platform. Again, this is cross organizations. Some instances may mean that you might have to de-silo and pull out competing platforms and choose an existing platform. But the goal is to remove barriers to collaboration and social computing and provide, compare and contrast the old way versus the new way, as we kind of attempted to do. So old way is emailing around documents and doing a painful merge process. New way is putting it into SharePoint, having inline comments in the document in one place, no merging, versioning, all those kind of benefits. So moving along the levels to level two, which is basic. So we've got, just as a reminder, we've got the social computing platform adopted. People are discovering it. They're using it. We may have personas which are being implemented by the business or the technology group to talk to the business about how to use it. We have some social computing capabilities and basic tools. But in level two, the biggest challenge is that there's a lack of guidance on how to be productive with social computing. So now that we've introduced the platform and how you can use it, that you should no longer use your S drive, you should no longer email documents around, stop it, that's bad, do everything in SharePoint, there's still a lack of guidance on how to be productive from a social computing perspective. Yeah, question here? Yep, so the question is, what kind of personas have we seen, and how does that relate to building social maturity, right? So there's a section coming up in which we actually talk about how to deepen personas, and I'll touch on it a little bit here just to kind of answer the question. So personas are really important in terms of identifying groups of people, and then we've seen it at different levels. We've seen it across organizational units, and we've also seen deepening of personas down to individual roles and levels. We've seen personas as actual people with snapshots and say, that begins with words like I need to, and then depending on the top 10 tasks of the role, you kind of have people go in through and we've developed websites where people go and they've gone in, find the role and say, here's how I need to do X, Y, and Z. Sometimes the personas are horizontal, right? So there might be human resource personas in which I need to do open enrollment. I need to see my pay stub. I need to adjust withholdings on my tax forms. Or there might be vertical personas, which is I need to do a purchase order, or I need to do some time off, or some things like that. So the personas can kind of embody people, roles, or organizational functions. And they help a guide and really shape how people are going to use a social computing platform. And we're going to get into that in a second.
We also have a process that we follow called workforce analysis. And it helps us to identify the relevant personas within an organization so we can then prioritize which of the productivity scenarios are most relevant to the organization where you'll get the most value. So the goal is really to drive out the critical 8 to 10 personas within the organization, specific to industry a lot of times, and to really drive out what's critical to that individual in terms of their common tasks, their pains, their needs, their wants. It could take us all the way down to the device level too. So you could have a persona that today uses a flip phone, uses a desktop phone, and a desktop computer, but they're highly mobile and they don't really have the tools they need when they're mobile within their own facility. And that helps us to drive out the need for, maybe they need a smartphone, maybe they need a slate, maybe they need UC capabilities and a headset where they can communicate on the run. So it's an actual process that we go through. We call it workforce analysis. And we use that to both identify who the people are and then which scenarios are most relevant and which scenarios will drive the greatest value to the organization.
Yep. So the other challenges in the level two adoption of social computing is that adoption is slow, right? The platform is there, it's humming, it's waiting to be used. You've done your best to try to teach people how to use it. But in the end, the cultural adoption, the inculcation of that into business processes is a challenging prospect. And people are focused on, you know, it's not that I now can I understand how to use social computing techniques and technologies to achieve tasks. It's that I know I don't go to my S drive anymore. I go to SharePoint, right? So it's that level of thinking and adoption that slows down, you know, the task completion and the benefits of social computing. And there's also typically cultural resistance, right? How many people have an aunt or an uncle, or maybe you're one of these people, because I know I was, just like, I'm not going to tweet. I'm not going to do hashtags. I just don't see the value in it. I'm probably antisocial, and I'm not going to really, you know, open up and share and do any of those types of things. I just don't have time for it. I don't see the value in it, right? So there are going to be those pockets of the organizations where as much as you invest in creating personas and as much as you show value in terms of task completion, they are just not going to crack. They're not going to give in and use it. So from a recommendation standpoint, you know, you have to go deeper in terms of proving that there's value in this new work style, right? So it's communicate and demonstrate opportunities for the platform to be used. Create those personas, as we just talked about, based on roles, and make those roles relevant. Go to the individuals or the people that are going to be, you know, your highest degree of holdouts and say, here's how you use social computing. So it's not just a marketing tool. It's not a HR tool. It's also an accounting tool, and it's also a technology tool, right? Concrete messaging needs to extinguish old behavior. So you need to be articulate enough in your messaging and in your communication to say, storing documents on your local machine, storing documents and collaborating in email is undesirable behavior. Those are behaviors which threaten IP, it slows down productivity, it has the potential for you to leak and lose work, and it is not a productive means of collaboration and getting things done and being social. And then the other plan or the other recommendation is to establish social communities. These are places where people can go to get answers. So Microsoft internally is still a very email-centric culture. So we had, I would say, you know, maybe 50 to 100 distribution lists at any given time in the organization where if I need to know information on, you know, why my cell phone battery is dying or things of that nature, you name the topic, I would formally go and email a distribution list and a bunch of people would get in their email inboxes. We do reply all and people would say, stop replying all to this message, you know, things like that. So the bigger challenge in that scenario is, you know, what we did internally is we set up a community. It was called the cell phone community. So if you had challenges or issues with your cell phone, the goal was not to use email, to shut down that DL. So every time that I send a message to the DL, I get a response back saying, this DL is due to be deactivated in, you know, 3 to 6 months. Use the social community, right? So it was active messaging. It was tactical messaging to say that this use case that you're doing is no longer desirable, right? So it's encouraging and using a carrot and a stick mentality. It's sunsetting those old capabilities. So let's do another quick demonstration, visual demonstration of, you know, problem resolution and task completion at level two that's possible with social computing technologies.
So I think we're coming to a point all the time here. I was saying communication is kind of important. If
you want people to change their behavior, you actually need to talk to them and you need to let them know what is available out there. So in this example, we are going to show that we have a small community. We set up a social community around IT. And my problem here is that I have problems with my direct access. And I want it resolved, and I'm going to use the community to get that answer. So I'm starting by logged on as myself, and I'm going into the sites that we have. And one of the sites that I'm following is the information technology. And getting into the information technology here, you can see that we have a discussion. And I actually posted the discussion here that my direct access is not working. So we're just going to go in and look at that one. I'm writing here that I have trouble with my direct access. And I have just hashtagged it as well so that people that actually are following this tag are also able to answer into it. The first thing you see is that we have a few others that are pitching in and saying they have the same problem. But Ali here is at mentioning Gart Ford, which means that he's actually going to get an email that triggers him to maybe go in and look at this problem.
Well, yeah, and just one of the things I wanted to, just if I could interrupt for a second, the big thing here is that with the tools and the platforms with things like hashtags, you know, the benefit of doing this, and this is something that you have to know and you have to teach and to educate people on, is that by including a hashtag, and SharePoint has a platform that allows for hashtagging, people that are out there in space that are following these different types of hashtags, and maybe there's even an organizational group that's responsible for monitoring direct access hashtags, has the ability to say, hey, somebody's having a problem. Whether that's, as you can kind of see here in the example, we got a plus one because Alex is also having this challenge. He may have been following the hashtag, or he may have been following Yan, the person that's having the issue. And then so he's got the ability to, you know, to pull in, or as in this example, as Ali, she's pulling in somebody that's authoritative enough to say, hey, you know, I've got an issue. I have a challenge here.
So what we're doing here is we're just switching over to Gartford, and in his Outlook, he gets a message. And now it happens that he actually already have seen other people who have the same problem. So he's so you can see here he has this answer, and going back into the response here, he's actually saying, look, you can review my response here. So I'm going in and I'm actually seeing that, and as you can see here, I'm also mentioning it here and giving him feedback and credit for that this working. Now, one of the things that you can see here is that if you're looking into the community here, and one of the things we get a view of everybody that's active in the community now, this is a pretty small community, but you are able to reward, and going back to the fact that people want to see recognition, one of the things here is that you can assign badges to members and actually credit them. So if you're looking here at the members, they are being credited depending on the discussion, their replies, best replies, and so on. And in this case, you can see that Gart Ford now has 50 in his reputation score. Now, what I wanted to do, going back to the actual response here, is that you can go in and say, well, this was really good, and I want to mark that as the best reply. And I'm going to come back to the next demo as well and show a little bit more about this. But if you go then in and you actually tag him as the best reply, this will then increase his reputation score, and he will be recognized. So if we're going back then and looking at him, you can see now that we have one best reply here, and his reputation scores increases as well, and he becomes more authoritative on this topic for others as well. And of course, going back to him and looking at his newsfeed, he now gets information about that he's now gotten the best reply, but also got to the next level of authoritativity when it comes to being an expert in this area.
Well, and just to kind of put a fine point on what you saw there, I mean, this is the power of a social computing platform at level two. This is the goal for a level two, which is the tool functioning and people getting value out of it. So I have a problem and I don't really know how to solve it. So instead of walking down the hall or asking my cubicle partner, I can actually go out someplace to a community where people are paying attention to this stuff, tag something, bring experts in, and then get an authoritative step-by-step how-to answer without ever calling the help desk, without ever picking up a phone, without ever bothering people, and it's in that immediacy window. Right? So it's people that are actively following the news feed, getting notifications, being brought back in to the system to share and provide guidance and information. And then it's that recognition, like Jan said. It's the ability for somebody that has the authority to be able to advise on topics to be recognized and to be followed.
Yeah. So still, this was a close community in the sense that you saw there were a few people here. And getting to the next level, what we actually want to do is to recognize it even more, trying to push it across the organization, making people across the organization to go there. And going a bit even more deeper into the demo. Moving from going more into the emerging areas, you'll see that now we want to focus more on the value. We also want to try to create some sort of governance around how we want people to use this. And Eric,
yep.
Let's draw through the rest.
So yeah, absolutely. So the at level three, which is emerging, we've seen the permeation of social computing, that we now have even deepened our personas to use cases. So we've taught people how to use it. In the last demo you saw, you actually had to know that those features existed. You had to know to hashtag direct access. You had to know to be able to click like if you like something. You had to know how to vote and hit the ellipse button to make a best reply. Those are all things that we need to inculcate our users with in level two. When we come into a level three, now we're, you know, the engine is firing, people are using the platform, they're getting value, they're resolving things. We've seen a decrease in phone calls, and people now are sharing knowledge. And now it really comes down to being able to make sure that people are still using the platform in proper ways. People aren't getting on there and getting into, you know, celebrity Twitter wars or anything like that on the platform. But we're also seeing solution architects now perk up, say, you know what would be great is if in my application, if I could keep track of conversations related to a specific screen or instance or hashtag, I want to pull that social data in. So a lot of organizations are caught on their heels with that kind of request. In the SharePoint world, we've seen people say, you know what, no problem. It's a REST API. You can kind of integrate with it. And you know, not really thinking about that application goes out to hundreds and thousands of users across the geographies where I do business. And now they're going to be pulling in social data from my little tiny SharePoint farm where I have to support communities, right? So we call that the floodgates of innovation and desire in terms of creating a social computing fabric. It's the promise of the integration of business processes with social computing ability, and that solution architects will push you if you're not ready for this. If you let one in, it's kind of like you've opened the doors wide. And that can be a bad thing if you're not prepared for it. So the recommendation here is to get ahead of that noise, to get ahead of your solution architects. Know that this is coming at level three. Understand that, you know, what you will do and what you won't do, so that mom and dad kind of say the same things when solution architects say, ooh, can I start to program against this social computing platform like you saw in the demo? It's being able to govern those business processes for social enrichment. And moving out of the context of applications that want to consume it, we need to still strive for adoption to continue to reward good behavior, if you will, through gamification, through badges, and things like that, right? So inculcating those into reviews, right? So internally, you know, in Microsoft, we have that kind of factors into performance, right? How active have you been in your community? How many people have you helped out? There's an altruism component, if you will. So it's good cultural rewards. And then it's, you know, the creation of a social fabric. And again, a fabric is something that enables other applications or business processes or people to leverage social computing capabilities. So from a recommendation standpoint, continuing, we need to establish a social computing center of excellence that's focused on those two pivots. It's the adoption, it's the permeation, it's the usage, it's the governance, and then it's also getting ahead of the right patterns and practices to establish means to properly program against your environment. I think we've all seen instances where a new service or a new platform is established and developers get wind of it and start programming against it in maybe four or five different ways, everybody reinventing the wheel. I'm no stranger to not invented here syndrome. I think everything I invent is the best, and I don't like to reuse what other people invented. So I think that's the thing that we need to kind of squelch, and it's a center of excellence is the right way to do that. We need to rationalize demands for custom solutions. So just because social computing has the ability to be placed into a business process or into an application doesn't mean that it should, right? So it's a difference between can and should. But the one thing we do want to do is to encourage cross-organizational fabrics as a service, right? So being able to create these social communities that cross organizations to enable task completion is going to be a big, big win at level three, and we're going to see an example of that. So you're going to see like merged communities. So in the previous demo, Yan went in and he clicked in an information technology community, which is focused on direct access, right? In this, the next demo you're going to see is one in which we are trying to do payroll modifications, which cross accounting, which cross AR, which cross HR, which crosses the payroll department. And again, it's the ability to mature into a social service that can scale and grow with all of the different needs. And the new need in the emerging level three is applications and business processes that want to consume social capability.
Yeah, so in this case, I want to adjust my W-4. I have no idea what the W-4 is.
W-4 is a tax form in the United States. Very important to have your W-4s updated if you're a United States payroll employee.
So in this case, my name is Ann Wallace, and I obviously know what the W-4 is, and I'm going to go into the HR portal. So as you've seen with all the other demos and all the other things you've seen here probably, we have this social part which is called things I'm following, and here is following her home page, so she has bookmarked that, so it's easy for her to come back home to the page that she's supposed to go to. And we have this landing page with all the department things. Now, since she knows she's going to do this change on her tax information, she wants to go into HR, know this has something related to her employee status. She chooses an HR resource, and basically knows that this is an area where I can find some self-service information. And she goes into this area and basically asks the question.
One thing I wanted to interrupt here is that, you know, again, you're noticing that this is a very discoverable intranet, right? So she didn't really need to store this link among her other 50 links. She was able to quickly and in an unfamiliar fashion navigate her company's intranet, find the HR portal, and then dive right into a relevant community where she can go to ask questions about how to update her W-4 form.
Yeah. Well, and what you see here is she has asked the question again. Where what Eric also mentioned is that we're hashtagging in here. We hashtag payroll, and the way that you can govern this is that you can say that the different departments can have different things that are important to them. So maybe maybe Belinda Newman here that works in HR has set up that she wants to monitor when somebody's actually asking questions that's related to this. And in this question, you can here see that she is answering it, and here you have the link to how to task completion. So it's across the different departments, and it's also a way of trying to encourage people to actually, in this case, monitoring this specific thing.
Yeah, so this is an example of a super community, a community that crosses organizational boundaries, HR, payroll, accounting, and this represents a technique that a lot of companies are doing out there in the real world, right? So if you go out and you hashtag, you know, Xbox, there are people that Microsoft hires to pay attention to that. So if you have the Red Ring of Death on your Xbox, how many people know about the Red Ring of Death? A couple nerds in here, like me. So if you have the Red Ring of Death on your Xbox, there are people out there in the real world that are monitoring that hashtag and saying, you know, if you have the Red Ring of Death, go do this. Same thing kind of applies internally. At level three, you want to have people that curate and monitor hashtags for issues. And you know, if you find somebody that, and again, it's that immediacy factor and it's that task completion factor, I want to be able to go out and figure out how to make an adjustment. I can't believe I have to do this manually. There's got to be a way for me to do it. How do I do it? Somebody's monitoring the payroll hashtag and they have the ability to provide relevant and quick information on how to complete that task. And she gave it a smiley face too. She liked it.
So. This was tagged, as you saw, as well as the best reply. However, as some of you maybe heard and some of you know me from before, my background is from search. And one of the key thing here as well, of course, what you're seeing now is that we're navigating and we're trying to look and work through these things. I just also wanted to show you the fact that if I
am not the first person who's asking this question, but I'm actually coming in as the second person. I want to do just this W4. You can see you can do the search. It automatically, of course, also indexes all the content that is being done in conversations. And looking down here, you can see that how do I adjust my W4? And it's also tagged with a best reply here. And looking at that, you actually get the question. And in conversation, when somebody's tagging something with a best reply, you automatically get that best reply in the hover card out of the box, like you see here. Now, if I actually wanted to look at the whole conversation and I wanted to look at the discussion as an overall as well, I'm fully capable of doing that task completion and just pressing here and coming directly in. And as you can see here as well, you have the question and the best reply will always be shown directly underneath there. And then you have the rest of the discussion below. So there is some really neat feature here where you're allowing people to collaborate, bringing in the hashtags and allowing people to monitor it. Later, when you want to search for it, you can either browse through it because you're familiar with the way of your browsing, or you can use the search technology that automatically indexes all of this and makes it available for you as well. So,
and to kind of summarize where we are, right, this is level 3 adoption. This is the existence of the platform. These are people that know how to use it. They're undergoing cultural shift. And these are organizational constructs and people that support monitoring, from an authoritative standpoint, monitoring communities and conducting task completion, right? So, or helping people conduct task completion. Very, very level 3, significantly mature adoption, by well-articulated social computing needs and capabilities.
And I think one of the things that Eric said earlier, it's not necessarily that every company wants to be at level 5. This is actually quite good, and it's way beyond what a lot of companies have. So, again, the mismatch between wanting to aim for something, maybe level 5, when level 3 might be more than enough for you as a company. And that's an important thing to have in your mind as well when you're actually planning for what you want to do.
Yep, great point. So, just a couple of quick observations for that particular demonstration. Social task completion occurred across organizational boundaries. And again, I don't have to dive into how that happened, but you kind of saw that, payroll and W4 updating kind of is at the intersection of a couple different departments, and they were able to help Ann out. And that the social platform allowed for individual task completion or servicing between those departments. So the next level that we're going to talk about is level 4. So if you're in level 3, you need to get to level 4. How do you get there? Is that a place that I need to go, like Jan said, and how do I get there? So level 4, and we'll kind of dive into what that actually is that you need to control or to encourage and control business process modernization through the social platform. So if there was an old means of updating my W-4 tax form, I may sunset that in favor of this new way, right, based on the social platform. From an adoption standpoint, at this point, everybody knows who the non-joiners are, and the goal is to find those holdouts and begin to discourage non-participation. And the primary means of doing that is to do that through sunsetting old technologies and old business processes. And it's to formalize, and the next step is to formalize social self-service capabilities. So if there's a query that came into the hashtag for payroll, I should be able to receive a response in relatively maybe about 10, 15, 20 minutes. Right? And again, that means that you've got the bandwidth as an organization to have somebody sit around and monitor hashtags all day. Some organizations may not have that. Quick question here. Absolutely. So the comment or the observation was adoption is basically, people like the way that they work and they don't like the change. And that's one of the things that we noted in level 1 and level 2, which is you're going to need to be able to identify and facilitate adoption of this platform. Otherwise, it's not going to work. You can't have part of your organization on the platform and part of that is not on the platform. So the primary means, and maybe after the demo, there's a slide that's dedicated to that, right? So the primary means of doing that is to find early adopters, people that are willing to participate in beta tests and really be your, we call it our cultural pull-through. It's individuals that are in key strategic in roles within the organization to say, hey, you know what? My team is no longer going to use email for collaboration. In fact, if I catch you using email and you're on my team, you're going to wear the dunce hat and sit in the corner, right? So it's cultural impact, it's influence, it's also formalized communication through the development of personas. It's demonstration from clear use cases to talk about how you should use social computing and why it's better for you. It's the carrot and the stick model as you go up the levels. So saying that, look at all the great ways that I've already communicated to you that you can get things done. Here are the other great ways that your colleagues are getting things done. It's testimonials, it's cultural pull-through, and then it's, at this level, it's the sunsetting of the old way. Right, so the people that have not completely bought in, that are the non-joiners, it's basically saying your boat's sinking. Right, you're gonna need to adopt, and you're gonna need to move. So the observation, and then I think we have to move on real quickly, but the observation is the holdouts, the non-joiners, tend to be the people that are the most senior in the organization. Right. The way to reach the folks that are the most senior in the organization is to talk to them about value. It's to demonstrate how the people that are working for them in these different teams are achieving and realizing business value and gaining productivity that's articulated. And that's one of the foundational things we talked about in our presentation is, you know, those individuals are going to be incented by, hey, if you got some whiz-bang new platform that you're going to say is going to make my life easier, increase productivity, make my workers happier, sure, I'll abandon my x86 machine and I'll hop on and I'll be social and hashtagging and all day, right? So that's the incentive at that executive level to move, that everybody else is doing it, we've achieved business value, and that we now have widespread adoption of this platform. So I'm going to try and motor here through level 4. I'm going to hit the real important points, and I would want to kind of show a demonstration. Why don't we hold questions? There's a 15-minute question and answer session at the end, I think.
No.
We're still on time.
Yeah.
Well, let's see if we can. Let's see if we'll try to answer some questions if you guys want to hang out and talk to us about social computing adoption. So, okay, so level 4 is an expanded one, and I'm not going to go into each one of these, but the idea is that we are developing a social fabric. It's a service-oriented architecture that allows for I'll call front-end use cases and consuming of the social capabilities, like Jan showed you, but it's also the back-end. It's the merging of capabilities into an actual application. So what we're going to see here is an instance where I'm a solution architect. All right, so I now understand that there is a social fabric. It's established, and there's a COE that's in charge of making sure that I'm developing against the social fabric in the right way. So if I'm an organization, I'm a consulting company, and I need to be able to enter my time and keep track of my time so I can bill customers correctly, let's say that there's a web-based application that allows me to do that, right? So I have my ribbon here, I have my different menus across the top, I have approvals and policies, and I have a calendar that I can use to enter my time. So here you can see that, you know, this is my week this week. I was traveling here, I did a presentation at the SharePoint conference, I'm traveling home again, and then I have to visit a customer tomorrow on Friday, right? So this is my time. And I have the ability to look at it in different views, but you know what's interesting down here is I notice I have 24 unapproved entries, which means that everybody knows that's been in the consulting organization, your manager has to approve your time so that it can go to be billed at the customers. And you can kind of see that even though, you know, I submitted my time, it's, you know, this particular week's unsubmitted. So I absolutely want to make sure that I'm approved to go to the SharePoint conference and present. So the number one thing I do is within the context of the application, again, I'm not going to a social computing place, I'm not going to my newsfeed, I'm not going to a community. Within the application, I'm opening up and creating a conversation. It's leveraging the social computing platform, which in this case is SharePoint. So you can see me there asking my manager, John Nisi, hey, can you approve my time prior to me going to SPC so I don't get yelled at for a bunch of expenses and you pretend that you have no idea what I'm talking about when the bills come in? And in this instance, Bart is monitoring his newsfeed completely outside of this application. And again, this is kind of a bit of an eye chart for folks that can't read it, but Bart is asking whether or not he should be nervous that we haven't had time approved to go to SPC. And I'm saying, nope, it's all good. John told me that I could do it during my last one-on-one. And John says, hey, I did that 2 days ago. Something must be going wrong. And if you notice, he's hashtagging SharePoint conference, and he's bringing in human resources. Human resources in this instance is a group of people that were specifically at mention. They now know that, hey, I've got an issue. They were brought into this conversation. And so they're going to basically say, hey, you know what? I'm sorry. We had a workflow. There was only one approver. That approver went on vacation. They're back now. Sorry about that. Things are going to move along. So you can kind of see there from a level 4 perspective, there was a single UX that combined business process and social computing within a single user interface, and that subscribed to that service. So I think we're going to try to motor through level 5. We've got a pretty impactful demo. So I'm going to try and talk to what's called a pervasive adoption of social computing. Right? So in this instance, we're managing the social fabric and the consumption of the social computing capability. We're avoiding hotspots. We're avoiding applications that put undue stress and undue drain on social computing. So the worst thing that could happen is if you deployed my little time tracking application to 100 people and it started stealing cycles away from people like Bart that were trying to contribute to their newsfeed. You need to be able to anticipate ubiquitous social fabric demand. So not only, again, this is locked up behind my firewalls at level 4. At level 5, it's everywhere. I have the ability on my device, standing at the train station, to follow BART and contribute to a human resources newsfeed post or hashtag. It's inside and outside the data centers. It's the dissolving of the intranet, the extranet, and the public internet. Right. So it's the ability to be able to cross network boundaries. So the idea here is that you're going to need to think about creatively in order to achieve this about edge solutions and cloud computing technologies. You're going to need to evolve your governance on how you store and what you can store, what your data classification levels are, and you need to be able to merge all of those different point solutions that might be competing solutions into one user experience, like in a consolidated fashion. So I'm going to throw it to Bart, who's going to kind of quickly run through a level 5 social collaboration demonstration for gamification.
So we'll give you a real quick example. How many gamers do you have in the room? Show of hands. Involved in networks, involved in Xbox Live, involved in maybe Wii, Nintendo, or Sony?
Okay. One person. All
right. So anyone ever heard of the term gamification? Excellent. Okay. So essentially, we started rethinking how we create content and develop content for consumption by our enterprise services. So you think about the MCS consultants, think about enterprise strategy consultants. It generally takes a while for the creation of the content, the guidance that or the IP for delivery that the consultants use out in the field. And the idea here was that we were trying to accelerate the development process, and we were trying to get greater participation from the communities. We have really strong technical communities, and we were trying to build out content across a multitude of communities to get different SMEs across those communities engaged. So in this example, the goal was to leverage that large group of collaborators to actually collaboratively build content. And a lot of times the way we build content is either through the process of submitting content to a site, people contribute to it, and it takes quite a while for us to run through the process. So our goal was really to figure out a creative way, for us to blend real-time IP development. And this could be a situation where we have multiple people contributing into a OneNote document, and someone's moderating that and pulling out content. We were trying to get additional SMEs to opt in from the communities, and we wanted to move really from real-time, or moving from communication to real-time collaboration. So our social experiment here was really group sourcing and making the process a little more fun and engaging to get people to participate in the process and help us to publish content a little bit quicker. Since we wanted to do this rapidly, we did no custom development for it. We wanted to leverage out-of-the-box capabilities so we could quickly deploy the process. We wanted to leverage podcastings versus meetings. So we didn't want to set up a lot of link sessions and have 10, 15, 20 people come to that and consume a lot of their time. And we also wanted to make the process a bit more fun in the sense that we could provide challenges for people to contribute versus just assigning them a set of sections or a set of contents within the documents to contribute to. So the old way, in terms of just real-time collaboration, typically what we would do is bring together a group of people, set up a OneNote, and collaboratively go through that. It would be a series of meetings. And as we go through the process, we would have assignments, go away for a few days, a few weeks, have people contribute to it, and then come along and monitor the progress and then harvest the content out of that. In rethinking this, the new way, if you will, the social experiment leveraging gamification, we took the idea or the notion that if we didn't do any meetings at all and we leveraged podcasting and really broadcasting out to the communities to see what type of inclusion and participation we would get from the SMEs across those four or five communities that we touched. And the way we decided to do it
was to actually time box a series of challenges and provide a set of rewards, if you will, badges for the participation, for the level of participation. So a contributor might reach level one. A reviewer might reach level two. Someone who submits ideas for ideation may reach level three. So in this process, we had a series of wikis, if you will, through OneNotes. And we would time box the challenges. At the end of those, we'd have an editor come along and lock down the content, grab that content, and pull it into our source document. So that's the notion behind the challenge. So real quick, I know we're running really short on time, but I'll run you through the site and what actually occurred during the process. So this is the social collaboration challenge, CNC social collaboration. And the way we kicked this off, the welcome challenge, was that we actually sent out a podcast. And that was actually the first challenge, was that you had to pay attention to the podcast. It was 12 minutes long. Go through the entire podcast, and there were a series of challenges at the end that you had to perform. One was actually submitting that you completed the session. And once you had done that, you had gotten a reward. And there was a first of 10 reward that we actually offered for that initial challenge. Beyond that, for each additional challenge, again, we started time boxing. So if I go back and you take a look at the types of challenges, the initial challenge, if you will, was the abstract. So since this is really a project or a document about a document, the abstract was actually building the first scope for the content, if you will. The next challenge in line was to actually build the table of contents, and that had to be based on the scenario. So we included a third challenge for folks to actually contribute ideas into the types of scenarios we might cover. So as I run through this, you'll see that since we time boxed the challenges, and I'm showing the current challenges right now, we actually turned off the challenges. So if we allowed 2 days for it, and you knew that there were only 2 days for the challenge, if you contributed, great, you were ranked. You got a reward for it, or got a badge for it, a custom badge perhaps. And then that was locked down, the wiki was locked down, the challenge was turned off, and then the next challenge came out. Since we are an email culture, a lot of the status updates that you actually received for participation in the challenge were from the moderator that actually sent out a weekly update. In some cases, it was a daily update if we had quicker challenges to do. And that's where you actually got recognition. So from the contributors, let's say we covered 2,000 people. We ended up with about 70 contributors in this particular challenge. You quickly started to see in their news feed, you started to see their achievements, and it was pretty much going company-wide across those communities. The goal for us was really creating of content, so what we ended up doing was taking the content that was actually finished within each one of the wikis and put into to the Word document. That single Word document is actually in an inline iframe within the side of the site, and the ongoing editing of that content has been occurring. So you see the reviewing version here, you see the comments on the right, and then the active collaboration of the actually active collaboration and content development. The set of custom badges, since we were using out-of-the-box functionality, we built a set of custom badges. Those are being assigned by the moderator based on the achievements. And you can see our top list of contributors here. And then, of course, my set of achievements. So I'm not really a participant in it. I'm more of a moderator. So if I take a look at the site, I want to show you real quickly. So we switch over. So this is an actual live site. Our current list of challenges, which we're down to about, I think there's about seven in there that are active. And as you look at each of these, as we add a new challenge, and I'll take a look at the scenario ideation. For this challenge, which was actually set up just a few weeks ago, we created a custom badge for this one. And if I jump into my document in the iframe over here, I can go ahead and bring it up full screen. And you'll see if I jump into the comments, you'll see the editors on the side. Their comments are about the documentation and the progress that is being made on the document itself. So the whole process, this was actually modeled after something Microsoft uses in a lot of different groups. You think about the Xbox team, they use a process similar to this. You think about some of the other business productivity platforms like Link, they use a process similar to this. Microsoft Research uses a process similar to this. So we've kind of modeled ourselves after that. Our goal at the end of this is to see if this is something viable that we could use in the future to generate content, get a large group of participants to collaborate and contribute to documentation. And if it is, it's something we'll probably spend more time on in terms of customizing the process. Again, out of the box, this was like a one-week event for us to set this up and actually get it rolled out. And so far, we're pretty happy with the level of participation that we're getting from folks. And I know we're getting close on time, so I'm going to go ahead and close it off here and jump back to the presentation.
Yep. So from an observations perspective, I mean, the real big thing there, and again, I don't want to spend a lot of time on it, but gamification spurs participation. It's the ability for, you know, what Bart showed is to achieve a common goal by bringing together different people from different backgrounds and different, you know, sections of the organization to conduct an innovation and achieve social recognition through that. So that was that's a real big component of that.
In terms of lessons learned, one of the things that we found out that since we're taking more of a fun approach to it or more of a game approach to it, that your attitude towards how you communicate with the community definitely affects the level of participation. So the more fun you make the messaging, the higher level of the participation. And if your messages go out more like status messages, the lower the participation. So we did a little bit of experimenting there as well to see what types of messages actually resonate. And if you're involved with leveraging Yammer, the Yammer networks, that's another motive or another behavioral change that's used is how you communicate your messaging to your users and to those champions or those leaders within the community. The more upbeat the messaging, the more fun, if you will, the higher the level of participation generally is. And that's what we've found as we've gone through this study.
So from a wrapping up perspective, you've seen the art of the possible, you've seen the implementation at various stages. What are the key points, right? So culture is critical. You know, in the beginning stages, we rely on early adopters and the focusing of messaging, coworker pull through, and then again, it's the carrot and the stick. It's the sunsetting of the capabilities that laggards have for resisting social computing. Moving through the maturity model, merging of business processes and social computing is going to be an instrumental component of adoption. It's de-siloization of different capabilities. It's maturing your social fabric, making sure you're ahead of demand, making sure that your platform is being used in the right way and that it's not being misused by end users as well as applications. And it's to really truly control the expansion of social computing adoption, again, both from an end user perspective and an application point of view. So from a research and a next steps point of view, what Microsoft has done is MCS is working on multiple social offerings in this space around how to implement SharePoint as a platform and Yammer as a platform and achieve social computing adoption. That includes finding the right level that your organization should be at and where it is at and how to get there. And then, you know, one of the underpinnings of this particular presentation was a really relevant article from Gartner about the maturity model for enterprise collaboration and social software. It's an excellent read, kind of really does deep dives into each one of the levels and really just talks to a lot of the characteristics of organizations that are at certain levels and want to move to certain levels. And then there was a gamification article, Bart, and you know, maybe you want to say a couple things about
this. Yeah, very quickly. So if you're familiar with the process of gamification, there are really opinions all over the board as to how effective it is. Some that say it's not going to last, and several that actually say that by 2015, 50% of organizations will be leveraging gamification to some degree to gain participation and inclusion from the communities. So we've leveraged it as an experiment to see how it would work. I think it's very interesting, and I think if you look at some of the gaming networks like Xbox Live and just the social aspect of that, it's fairly successful. If we can leverage it within business, I think it's a pretty interesting way to gain participation and actually produce tangible output or effective output by using that process.
All right, and you know, obviously, one of the best things you can do is to engage in a POC to make sure that you can articulate the value. The best way to articulate value is to show value, to show the art as possible. Before we had to do POCs in which we set up servers and drop clients and did all that stuff. The best way to test this out is to provision an Office 365 trial tenant and try it out yourself. Show your organization, really focus on your valuing message, and conduct a POC. You know, instead of in months, do it in a few weeks. Right? So that's our presentation.
And sign up for Yammer, of course.
No, sign up for Yammer. I'm sorry, I missed that. Absolutely, sign up for Yammer and adopt SharePoint. I know we're about 4 to 5 minutes over. Again, sorry for running over, but thanks for sticking with us. If you have any questions, feel free to stick around. We'll be here to answer questions. So thank you.